Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning, please. Father, we thank you we can gather in your name, and we thank you for your precious word which you have made available to us. And as we go through these psalms that we've been reading through, we see just so much more of your infiniteness, it seems like, in so many different directions. So help us this morning as we look at such a familiar psalm, and yet packed with so many things for each of us, and thanksgiving for your deliverance, for us. So help us now to grasp even a greater aspect of you and of your love and of your mercy and of your loving kindness toward us. In Jesus' name. So a couple of questions. How often or when did you last feel like you were a pilgrim passing through a foreign land? I made the mistake again this morning of looking at the news very briefly just to... I didn't want to come in here and people say, did you hear about, half the world falling off into the sea? Oh, I don't know. But it is just chock full of misery and... godlessness and chaos, right? I don't know if any of you heard Pastor Jack and Amir Wednesday night, but we had a very nice summary, really, of what we know going on in the world. But just focusing on Israel and the United States are really paramount examples right now of what's going on in confusing, in creating confusion and deception. And it's the same old playbook that's been going on for generations, that you come into a group and you start to sow seeds of discord, planting lies about everything that's going on. And then you bring lawsuits against the government leaders, just like they did with Netanyahu over and over and over again. And you create doubt in the people's minds about the veracity of their government. And then you create a disturbance with lawlessness and all this stuff. And then you come in with a great plan to bring peace. And of course, they say, come on in, we'd love to have you. But one of the things I wasn't even aware of is how the weakness of the United States now is causing such a dramatic shift in the world. And I think it's all part of the end times getting ready for the Antichrist and the United States being reduced out of the history because we don't see it in the Bible. But they were talking about this belt. First of all, you're talking about destabilization now in Europe in a big way because there's some possibility that Russia is going to invade Poland, which would be a biggie because that's a NATO country. What are we going to do? At the same time, our eyes are there. We take them off of Africa with what's going on in Africa, which is astounding. And they were talking about Niger, he calls it Niger. I didn't know, where is it? Niger? Never heard of Niger. But anyway, Niger, the northern part of Nigeria is French, I think, and the other is something else. But I think like 78% of the world's lithium is produced in Niger. Well, guess who has control of Niger now? The Chinese have the lithium market. So I come back, and I didn't even know about the coup going on, but a coup is planned in Niger. Now you look in the news, there's a coup happening there. And so since the United States is not present anywhere, there's this big vacuum, and then the thugs come in. And so this is what we're in. And so it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And so what does that mean to us? Well, it really means hallelujah to us because the Bible is being fulfilled perfectly and we're getting really close to Jesus' return, it seems to me, because this is going on all over the world. And we think it's just happening in this country in a way, or at least I think that. How could that be here? And then I think, well, how could that happen in Israel? And those are the two prime examples right now of how far down the confusion and the deception is going. And so keep your eyes on this daily and keep your eyes on him because he doesn't change, right?
Amen.
So first question was, do you feel like you're a pilgrim? We'll have an answer for that. Another one, do you feel like you're in prison? ever in prison. And I'm not talking about behind metal bars. I think it's been said the biggest prison that anybody can be in is their own skin, really, more so than there's people so much more bound up outside of prison today than many of them are inside a jail, right? And then what about those times when we don't want to listen to the Lord? Has that ever happened to you? And then finally, about God, or caught in a storm. Have you been caught in a storm lately? Or are you in a storm right now? Oh, we got a new little one today. God bless you. I didn't even notice when you came in that you had the, because I was not paying attention. But anyway, it's beautiful to have the three of you here. Caught in a storm. So we'll have that example here. So we go to Psalm 107. One of the favorites of Pastor Chuck would have us read this so many different times in responsive reading. But we see here this repeating of this verse that you know very well. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So that's four times. Well, what is the pattern in each of those four times? Maybe you know all of this. I didn't, and I'm kind of reminded of it as I was looking at it this week. But we begin with, oh, give thanks. We give, and this whole thing is thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. You know, we had creation, and we have different themes here. This psalm is thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. So I thought we would just begin by this Maranatha. We sing it kind of every time. Often, but it's the first, give thanks, give thanks. So let's just sing, give thanks, as we begin here this morning, if we may. Seated if you like. So Psalm 107, beginning with this very familiar phrase, the same one we had in Psalm 106. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, verse 2 is a little bit different than this one. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak up. Are you letting that? Are you saying so? Are you letting that be known from what he's done in your life? Let the redeemed, are you the redeemed of the Lord? I hope so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what do I say? What is my life speaking of his having redeemed me? whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Just think what he's taken you from, the hand of the enemy, hasn't he? Redeemed us from the hand of the enemy and gathered us out of the lands from the east and the west, the north and the south. And many see Israel in this probably at the end times, because lands and east from west and north and south. Some say this is a psalm about the captivity in Babylon. It could be, but it's a lot more than that, because it says here from the east and west and north and south. It's just not one single captivity, it seems to me, but gathering the dispersed Jews. So now as we get into verse 4, we're going to have this scenario of a weary pilgrim, and how God meets the weary pilgrim. So verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. We look around today, we see so many people wandering in a desolate way, don't we? Wandering in the wilderness. They found no city to dwell in. You know, in those days, and even today, we like walls around us. We like walls of protection, don't we? Imagine most of you lock your doors at night, and maybe even if you have a burglar alarm system, or like we do, a sign of a former burglar alarm system. I think it works just as well. But he is our protector, right? They found no city wall to dwell in. And then hungry and thirsty, their heart fainted in them. And so here they are, weary pilgrim, in danger. Their souls fainted. They get to that point of where your soul just faints. What happens? Well, we have the first then. This is always the then that precedes this thanksgiving phrase that we mentioned. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And we often wonder why we wait so long to cry out to the Lord. Well, I got to call my prayer chain. I got to tell my five closest friends all the things I'm going through. Well, why don't you tell it to the Lord first? And then if you have any reasons, tell it to anybody else. Tell them to them. But they cried out to the Lord of the distress that they were in, and what? He delivered them out of all their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, or the straight way, that they might go to a city with walls. They might go for protection, his protection, for a dwelling place. And then that refrain, oh, let's say, read that together with me. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then there's always a verse or two after that. Here it is, 4. The next one will be 4 as well, and then we'll get to let's after that. But verse 9, because he satisfies the longing soul. That word longing really has the aspect of dried out. It's all withered, kind of. It's just like something without water. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So has that happened to you lately? Like every day? Like all the time, right? Now we'll go to the next situation there. Do you feel at times like you're imprisoned and no way out, so to speak? Verse 10, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. And so one of the bindings here is our trials and afflictions, really, for all of us. God uses those too. But there's also those who are bound in irons, that part of it as well. Bound in affliction and irons. Why, though? This is the key here. Why? Because they rebelled against the word of God. So you get imprisoned by rebelling against the word of God. If you've never been in a courtroom in your life, or you've never even seen a jail, you get imprisoned because you rebelled against the word of God. And what? Rebelled and despised. You don't want to rebel against against the word of God and be despising the counsel of the Most High. Wow. It doesn't go well if you do those things. You're going to be in prison, all right. His prison, in a way. Rebelling against the word of God, despising the counsel of the Most High. That is exactly what's happening. We read there in John 3:16, right? This is the condemnation. What? That light came into the world, but men loved darkness and rejected the light. So that's the same kind of a picture here. They rebelled against the word of God, despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That's usually when he gets my attention, is when there's no way out, right? Hey, it's good to hear from you again, Phil. Where you been? You know, I've been handling myself pretty well. Oh, really? Okay. But he brings us to that place, doesn't he? And so now here again, he brings them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death and breaks their chains in pieces. So take that, you prisoners. I mean, whoever's trying to imprison you. Breaks their chain in pieces, and then again the refrain, oh, that men would give thanks. Let's read it again together. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And again, here's a four. Why? For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Oh, that's freedom, isn't it? And now we go to the next one. It's entitled Fools. So how many of us are fools, or fools at a time? Because we won't receive from the Lord. So what does he say about that? Fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Because of their transgression and their iniquities. Well, we all have that iniquities, which is another word for twistedness. We all have that twistedness in us from Adam, really, Adam's sin. But if we go with that, we go with our transgressions and we go with our iniquities and like to live there, then we're going to run into all kinds of problems. Their souls abhorred all manner of food. They didn't even want to eat as they drew near the gates of death. Now, they're real trouble now because they've turned away through transgressions and iniquities. They won't even eat. They're like, they're just dying. But that's what? Then, again, another then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Listen to this. He sent his word and healed them. You want to be healed of all kinds of things? It's right here in the Word of God, the Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. He sent his words and healed them and what? Healed and delivered them from their destruction. So again, this is the psalm of thanking him for his great works in deliverance. So again, we read together, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, instead of a four here, we turn to let in the next couple of ones here. So this is an instruction for us. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. When's the last time you really made the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declared his works with rejoicing? I trust we have that in our hearts deeply. We know we will get that if we do that, if we sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works, there will be the rejoicing. So the last one here now is, not the last one, but the fourth one, we get caught in a storm. When's the last time you got caught in a storm? Think of the parable, or not the parable, but the account there where Jesus sent the disciples over to the other side. It happens twice. First time, he's on the boat with them and stills the sea. The second time, he has them go by themselves, and then he walks on the sea to them. But they get caught in the storm. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord. Now, we know there are storms of instruction and there are storms of correction. And of course, there's a difference, and we should be able to discern which those differences are. But I hope we are not allowing too many songs or too many storms of correction, because we bring that on ourselves. The storms of instruction are given to us by the Lord, I think, as he's perfecting us. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. So I think there are times that fits us, hopefully not too often, but we get caught in a storm. And again, now we finally come to verse 28, to then They cry out to the Lord. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Wow. So again, we break out in that refrain. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And here is the let after that one then. Here's what we're to do. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. So I praise you're exalting him here this morning because you're in the assembly of the people, aren't you? And are you exalting him in your heart? Praising him in the company of the elders or of the older people. We got enough older people here. If you're praising him here, you already met that requirement. In some crowds, it's hard to find older people, but not necessarily in this one. But praise the Lord. Now we're going to look at his sovereignty. And he does these various things, and we want to have understanding of who he is and what he is. Verse 33, we're going to bunch a whole bunch of he's here. He talking about the Lord. He turns rivers into a wilderness. Oh, I don't know about that. And the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into a pool of water. So he's sovereign. He stops up water and he produces waters. He turns a wilderness into a pool of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. And we have our part to do in that of sowing the fields and planting the vineyards, but he is the one that gives the life. So this is really an illustration of the soil, and next we'll get to an illustration of the soul. But here's an illustration of the soil. He makes it dry or he makes it fruitful, and then he uses that to feed the hungry for a yielding a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Isn't that amazing? So rather than the cattle all dying off, here he is blessing and fruitfully multiplying. And then we get to the soul. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction. You see his love for the poor and the helpless, don't you? Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Wow. So what are we to do in this dark and dying world? Well, we need to be righteous. We need to be rejoicing in him and letting the people see him in us. So the closing final verse here, consider, in other words, whoever is wise will observe these things. Whoever is wise will observe these things. So spend some time on the 42 verses before this one. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will, what? Understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That Hebrew word chesed is the same word there for loving kindness as it was in verse 1 for mercy, as it all also is for long-suffering. That's just his kindness out of his love for us. It's just from God. It's that beautiful, beautiful thing that is all of these things, mercy, understanding, loving kindness. Well, Father, we thank you for the psalm, and we don't do justice to it really in a few minutes because the content, as always, is so tremendously deep. But yet we get the picture of the peaks here, I think, a little bit. And we just thank you for delivering us. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for giving us the power of prayer and we have that opportunity again this morning to bring things to you that the Spirit would put on our hearts to bring. And may this time be redeemed in and of itself, because here we are gathering together with like-minded hearts. So lead us now in these moments of prayer in Jesus' name. As we kind of come to the end today, I just want to close with this familiar song. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. So let's sing this together, if you would.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thanks.
Father, we do thank you for your goodness, and help us to sing of it, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we be awake. May we be praying for one another for more prayer and more singing and saying so of your goodness and your greatness, Lord. We love you, Lord. We ask all these things in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.